Hello and welcome to We're All Gonna Die and Other Fun Facts, a semi-regular, occasionally amusing, and rarely funny series of conversations on a random topic. This episode is entitled Enter the Skullcast 8. And it's about, well, it's about Skullfest, which is a fest of skulls. More on that later. And so our guest for this episode is someone who knows a little something about skulls and fests, Mr. Dusty Hanna, who is also the vocalist in Silence, who you heard him a few podcasts back, which was probably like 10 years ago at the rate that I actually produce these. Dusty, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
No problem.
And could you please tell the young, impressionable youth out there, what is Skullfest?
Well, first, let me thank all the thousands of We're Only Gonna Die, or not We're, that's a Bad Religion song. The thousands of We're All Gonna Die listeners for tuning in.
Yes, thousands. Thousands. Absolutely thousands.
Or tens of thousands.
Millions. Whatever. Mark Marion has shit on me, man.
Wherever it clocks in now, ten.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands. But Skullfest basically is a four-day fest that takes place in various locales around Pittsburgh, August 18th through the 21st, concentrating on punk rock, but also including some post-punk, death rock, heavy metal, noise music, hardcore, kind of whatever we feel like throwing in with the punk groups. You can get your tickets at my friend's record store, Cruel Noise Records, which opened today, and the former Mind Cure site.
Dobson Street in Polish Hill.
Dobson Street. You can get your tickets there. Or you can go on www.skullfestpgh.com to get tickets online. And this will be Skullfest 8, Skulls in Space, is the tagline. Each year we've done different things. We've had Return to Skull Island. We've had, what was last year? Return to Skull Island was the year before. Last year was Into the Valley of the Skulls was last year, which was take, I don't know if anyone got it, but was a take from Generation X's Into the Valley of the Dolls, which
absolutely,
is,
yes,
of course, based off Valley of the Dolls.
Yes.
So it was kind of a parody of a parody of a parody, basically.
Hey, whatever works. It's the postmodern moment.
I don't know that it worked. But to me it was
it
fun,
happened.
So it,
no,
happened.
It happened, so. And it was wonderful. So...
so that's basically what Skullfest is.
That is what Skullfest is. And so to sort of tease this out now, I mean, so this is something, this is a Pittsburgh fest. There's a lot of Pittsburgh bands, but,
yeah.
And I know this year too, I mean, it is an international phenomenon, festival. I mean, right? People come, bands come, people come from all around here to Pittsburgh to hear this amazing music, these bands that, I mean, you've had reunions, you've had, I mean, there is this sense of maybe rarity that helps also make this special. You know, if you don't see it here, if you missed it before, you might get to see it now, you know.
If you weren't going to shows in the 80s, it might be the only chance you'll get to see. You know, we've had, the first one, we had a one-time reunion of very rare 80s group called Chronic Sick, who was a New Jersey group who was kind of what now falls under like Killed by Death music, which is, you know, a tag for rare punk that came out between 78 and 1982. So it was, and we kind of got them just off on a, just on a whim. We're like, it was our 30th birthdays, a friend and I, which we can get into later, and we're like, let's see if we can track this band down from New Jersey. And this was before Facebook and stuff like that. So we tracked the guy, and his name was Greg, down, worked in a bar in New Jersey. So we called that bar and we're like, is Greg there? And he was, or he had picked up, you know, and we're like, hey, we want to get your band back together. And you know, we figured he would just say no or whatever. So right away he was like, sure.
You know, just yeah, like, that's awesome.
It's like, you know, sure, we'll do it. So we were kind of like awestruck. So he's like, so how are we going to do this? And then we didn't have any plan in place, you know. I'm like holding the other end of the phone, holding it silent so he can't hear. I was like, how are we going to do this to, you know.
But that's awesome.
But yeah, so that's a case where, you know, if you didn't see Chronic Sick, then, you know, you missed it. If you blinked, you missed it. And we've gotten bands back together, Distraught from New York City, band from the 90s, and Submachine from here in Pittsburgh. Yeah. We orchestrated their reuniting, and they've been back together ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, yeah, they put on some great shows. They do.
For sure. If we've done nothing else, we got Submachine back together for good. So
that's
good enough.
Yes, you've earned your place in
we
heaven.
Can stop. Maybe yes. maybe we'll just cancel it. This is it.
No, don't cancel.
now that you got me thinking about it.
Yeah. So this really was then this like kind of, I hate to use that term because it's so loaded now in terms, especially when talking about music, but this sort of like organic.
Yeah.
That usually sounds like that's the tagline for bad folk music.
Yeah. You know,
the WYEP.
Sure. Yeah.
Which is the local adult contemporary folk station. Yes. Well, I wanted to make this record more organic feeling, so I recorded it in my kitchen or whatever. No. But I mean, it was something that you were maybe, is this a case you were figuring things out, how to do things, kind of as you were doing them?
Yes. Well, I started doing shows. I'd done shows as a teenager up until Skullfest, which was my 30th birthday. So I'd been doing shows for a good decade, but never anything on this level. So this, at the time I'd done Skullfest, it was the biggest show that I had ever done. And it did just kind of, I was just kind of figuring it out as it went. Like, you know, a band would be like, you know, we need this and that. And I'd tell them, sure, we can definitely do that. And then I'd hang up the phone and I'd Google what it was they were asking about. You know what I mean? So I was like, you know, we need 15% on the back end. I'd be like, you know, no problem. You know, and then I'd, you know, as soon as I'd hang up, I'd be like, what is the back end? Which if you type in, you get some interesting, search results.
Yeah, sure. And if you did an image search, I'm sure they're very interesting.
but yeah, that's basically, we, you know, we're kind of figuring out as it goes. I think we've got a much better handle on it now, eight times over.
But that's awesome that, you know, it reminds me, there was this great documentary about the Residents.
Mm-hmm.
And Penn Jillette was, he said something that's become this mantra for my life and has maybe liberated me from a lot of bullshit. He said about the Residents, you know, he's like, yeah, they weren't the Beatles, but they're really good at being the Residents.
Yeah.
And if you wait until you know how to do something before you do it, you'll never do anything.
You miss your chance, sure.
Yeah. And so how I definitely want to talk about like the big bands this year at Skullfest. But so how many shows and how many locations in these 4 days to give people a sense of how complicated this is or how nuanced this is or how many plates are spinning in the air right now?
Well, the locations, I believe we have, it's probably around 10. Now, there's always some last minute stuff that gets added. Mm. There's stuff that doesn't even get announced until that day, you know, secretive type stuff. You know, there might be, say, you know, some show by the river or that just like comes together that night. So there might be a couple, it might end up being 11 or 12 locations. Wow. And a lot of that stuff that's actually stuff that we don't organize, that people are just around and organize themselves or whatever.
Oh,
just
wow. Kind of, so it's kind
of the fest.
Well, the thing is like, oh, we're in bands and we liked your band, but we missed your band.
Yeah.
Let's go play by the river. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Sure.
That's really awesome.
So
wow.
It could end up being, you know, anywhere. It's anywhere up to, you know, 12 different locations. But we got a lot of the after shows happening in Gooskies, which is, you know, pretty much the classic Pittsburgh bar.
Yes.
You know, we got Kativo. A lot happens there, which is great because they can do all ages, which is also kind of a classic bar in its own right by this point. got the Rock Room. We've got Heelcrest Farms, which is a place we never worked with before. This will be the first time, which is an urban farm in Garfield.
Oh, wow.
And they're going to be hosting a Thursday show. So looking forward to that. So that'll be all outside, all ages. We have the Punk's Picnic, which, we have every year in a secret location or whatever, which is like open air market, that'll be outdoors also. I know I'm missing a place or two. Brillo Box, which is where Belgrado from Spain will be.
Fantastic.
As far as shows, probably... Oh, I couldn't even say. I think Saturday alone, there's maybe six shows. Oh, the Shop is the place I'm missing, which is the all-ages venue in Bloomfield. I think Saturday alone has six shows. So it works out to be maybe 14 shows.
14 shows, 4 days. How many bands?
I could only guess.
See, I should have done research too.
I should know.
You're doing it. I'm the one at the host. And I heard you had 14 shows.
I'm not gonna look on my phone to look it up, and I'm just gonna take a guess. I'm gonna guess. It usually ends up being around 40 bands.
Wow.
45, somewhere between 40 and 50.
Wow.
And again, we don't know till the very end, because there's bands that kind of jump on and do their own stuff and kind of are like, some after shows. Nice. Because we plan after shows that go till 2 in the morning, but other people like to start their shows at 2 in the morning and go till the sun comes up or whatever. And
fantastic.
A lot of that stuff we don't even actually know about until we hear, so-and-so broke their arm at this at this show that started at 3 in the morning down wherever, so that's kind of those are kind of my educated guesses on how many venues.
So it is this fluid evolving thing. But who are the heavy hitters for Skullfest this year?
So this year we got the main headliner would be Final Conflict, who is a classic California political punk band from the 80s who had their kind of opus was Ashes to Ashes, which I want to say came out in 1987, which was basically kind of just solidified them as America's Discharge.
Nice.
Just a super heavy hitting kind of metallic tinged hardcore punk, lyrical themes about the Central America, what was going on there at the time, the Contras, cocaine, Reagan, but the main theme is similar to Discharge, was nuclear war. And I feel the possibilities of World War III looming around the corner, I think their lyrics are unfortunately still very relevant to today. You know what I mean? I joke that it would be great if we lived in a time where 80s punk was totally irrelevant lyrically, it could just be a nostalgia thing, but that isn't the case, they were singing about Reagan. We obviously have now Trump to possibly deal with, which is a whole nother level from Ronald Reagan. I don't think Reagan would have even supported Trump. I think he would have.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess the thing is too, in terms of if I can get my own little cultural history, doctorate thing in there. You think Reagan was the beginning of this idea of this neoliberalism of, let's get rid of public institutions, let's privatize everything, let's let global capitalism solve the world's problems.
Yeah.
He ushered that in, and think, no matter who wins this presidential election, we'll still, at least in the executive branch of government, I think still have neoliberalism in office.
Yeah.
And all of the problems, all of the social anxieties, tearing of the social fabric, the war machine, because once you stop, putting money into public good, well, you still have to pump the government still has to pump money into the economy somehow. So weaponry, you know, I have family from Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And when Congressman Jack Murtha was still alive, the manufacturing, the jobs in those town, in that town, there was a place that made boxcars. And I think there was a place that made bras for a while, but it was military assault vehicles, you know, was just building this, this thing, you know, and that's actually how Reagan kind of, you know, they say Reagan, well, you know, we defeated the Russians in the Cold War because we armed so much. Well, actually, it was government spending to get us out of a recession. You know, kind of stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, we're still there. We're still absolutely in that moment. You know, Reagan was the maybe defining presidency of, I hate to say it, probably the next 50 years.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of that still, and that sucks.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I think 80s punk probably has at least another good 20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, to tie it all back in, so, you know, Final Conflict still is relevant as when... is when that came out. You changed some of the names around.
And, yeah.
You know. Then we have Suicidal Supermarket Trolleys, who are from the UK, 90s group from the UK, who the singer moved over here, I want to say in the early 2000s. And it's basically, this is basically his band that he formed over here doing the Suicidal Supermarket Trolley songs.
Oh,
So that's, they're called Drunken Rampage. So it's Drunken Rampage performs the hits of Suicidal Supermarket Trolleys. So, so we got them. We got Belgrado from Spain,
who's
Great band. Yeah, you know, kind of death rock, post punk.
Kind of 80s gothy 80s sounding,
goth sound.
But they're a new band, though, right?
They're a new
band,
they're
a new band playing that sort of great old style.
Or last
style.
10 years, at least, yeah.
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 Of, you know, people who would have Sisters of Mercy's tattoos would love Belgrado.
It's like that with a little bit of some of the idealism from, like, the UK peace punk scene.
Nice.
Thrown in. A little Crass Records mixed with that, you know.
Nice. Which is something you would not know about at all musically. Mixing
myself,
the goth and the crust punk at all.
I was
in a band that does that.
Totally so. Shocked by that.
Yeah.
I was like, we actually, if wanted to be on the show, but it didn't work out with my schedule with doing the fest. Wanted Silence to be on it because the two bands, you know, it obviously fit well together. Belgrado was supposed to play Pittsburgh once. And they got stuck in New York. This was probably 5 or 6 years ago. And it was like a Monday night. They were going to do a house show in this place that was called Cobra Cabana, which was, I don't know if you ever got the chance to go there in Garfield.
No.
It was a wild spot. And there was probably about 60, 70 people waiting on them. And there was a bar. It was a makeshift bar upstairs, you know. And I did some bartending there. I think I might have been bartending that night. And I think I got one of us got the cell phone call, stuck in New York. So for all those people that were upset that night, this is your chance.
Yeah.
But that's at Brillo Box.
And so, and you are, your band Silence is playing, you're playing the Profane Existence show, right?
We're on Profane Existence, but again, my schedule couldn't. It was kind of wherever my schedule could fit us. So we're playing at Kativa with Sour Ground, who is a great band and great friends of ours from Cincinnati, which is three ladies from Cincinnati that all kind of dress like they're in Mad Max.
Nice.
I almost said Mad Mex. Like they wear like Mad Mex uniforms.
Yes.
You know, give you a burrito or whatever.
Burritos.
But they're new wave. They're kind of dark new wave is what I would say they are. And we're also with another like dark post-punk band on that called Maudlin. And also Future Punks, who are a new wave group.
Nice.
So that's Saturday night upstairs at Kativo. And of course, Silence is, you could just use the same description for Belgrado for us, you know, the like peace punk stuff mixed with, you know, 80s goth stuff. So that'll be a cool, gives you cool mix of the of new wave and like dark punk and post punk and goth all in one night there, which will give you a break from the, you know, the hardcore sounds of everything else, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'll be Saturday night at upstairs at Kativo.
Yeah.
Is where Silence will be.
Yes. And so, and actually at skullfestpgh.com is, I guess, where the maybe official above ground schedule is, or how do people kind of negotiate?
You can go to, yeah, it's all on skullfestpgh.com or also on the Facebook event.
Yes.
If you're on Facebook, search for Skullfest 8.
Yes.
And it has the full listing of everything. For people who live in the city, if you live in Polish Hill, Bloomfield, Lawrenceville, what I tell them when they're like, when's it going on? Where's it going on? I tell them to just go outside and you'll hear it. You know, you'll
yes,
see it.
You'll see it.
You'll see it.
You'll see the spiky jackets.
You'll probably see more than you want to. You'll probably wish you had stayed inside. No, but we, you know, we just tell people, like, if they live locally, like, the, you know, people who are kind of like on the outside from it, like, well, I'm interested. How do I get to this? You know, we're just like, go outside, you'll see it. You know, follow the
spiky jackets.
Yeah, follow the spiked up jackets, you'll find it.
Yeah. Which I guess is, you know, you've made a couple allusions to this, but I think it's this interesting thing for me is where punk is right now. Again, my own academic interests or whatever, where it's still a little bit dangerous, and actually you told this story before we started recording, I think, and it bears repeating, about how in some cities there are the undercover police are sort of in the punk movement,
yeah,
trying to figure out where some of these house shows happen, mm-hmm, and some of these impromptu things might happen,
yeah,
which is unsettling and scary. And you know, I remember when, you know, as growing up a child of the 80s, and not only was there the satanic panic, but there was this idea that punk rock was the end of Western civilization,
mm-hmm,
which I think is what made it so appealing to me as a
yeah,
child.
Same.
But, you know, but there is this kind of one hand, this danger, and it is great excess. And I remember last year there was the Benefit breakfast show,
yeah,
during Skullfest. And everybody looked so haggard.
Yeah.
And it was in a secret location.
Right.
And everybody was very tired.
Yeah.
And they looked like they'd seen some things, but it was a wonderful show and a wonderful time.
Yeah. I think when the band started going and people had a few Bloody Marys, they perked up a bit, you know.
Yes.
That was our first time doing the breakfast show, which we're doing again this year. Which is, I believe this year is a benefit. Last year was a benefit for
the people who were locked up in Baltimore for the Freddie Gray
right.
protests. And
yeah.
That great Baltimore band, Human Mania, the drummer, mm-hmm, gave this great impassioned speech.
Dan McGregor, yeah.
Dan McGregor, amazing speech that I still think about over a year later,
mm-hmm,
about what punk is, you know, is a generally white movement.
Yeah.
It should, and we would hope it would be more diverse at some point. But it is, and what, how, you know, if you see this injustice in the Black Lives Matter movement, how we can be involved, how we can help
yeah,
and not co-opt.
Right.
You know, and it was amazing. I still think about it. It still
yeah,
rattles around in my brain, you know, as like a moment. But so this year the benefit is?
I believe this year is Hope Haven Farm Sanctuary, and which is a farm sanctuary just outside of the city. And I want to say, It's for two. I want to say it's also for an anti-fracking group.
Oh, fantastic!
Is what I think it is. I think they're still working out the exact details on that. But those are the two. I think it's going to be split between those two groups. But yeah, that's Peace Through Strength who does that, mm-hmm, which is, you know, Damon, who you of course know.
Yeah,
is kind of heads that, and myself and Babs, who is in iRoll. Who is playing Thursday, which is band my wife is also in, and Babs' daughter.
Cool.
So it's four ladies locally known or whatever. I think her daughter is, Lucha is 11, I want to
wow,
say. So she's tearing it up on the drums at 11. So
nice.
We're all very, very
fantastic,
proud of her.
Fantastic. That is great. But so I guess so. It is this thing where it is dangerous and fun, and I guess
yeah,
you say maybe there is maybe the occasional broken arm or whatever.
Sure.
But also thinking,
I'm like, you say broken arm, I'm like, sure.
Yeah, sure. There's going to be arms getting broken. It's come to Skullfest. But, you know, also the way that it is kind of maybe doing something like this, and you're talking about, you know, reunions, and you've given Submachine back to the world.
Yeah.
You know, that should be, if this was a video podcast, that would be the ticker under Dusty Hanna gave Submachine back to the world. Or at least to the folks at Gooskies.
My greatest accomplishment.
Yes. But, you know, how it is, though, kind of a stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, early punk was this thing that was supposed to burn out in a year and nobody cared, and it was all, you know, anti-establishment or whatever. And now you look at it, you know, people look at it and people in my field look at it and go, wow, that's maybe one of the most important things that's happened.
Yeah.
You know, I do not say this with any hyperbole, but you think, like, you know, punk, you know, would we as a species just, would we have just died off? Like, we would have at least stopped reproducing, I think, or something. You know what I mean? In like 50 years, if 77 or whatever never happened, we would just, you know, the last old lady would have just kicked it somewhere.
Yeah.
And that would be the end of humanity or whatever. But
maybe that would be for the best.
It would probably be for the best. So punk is destructive. But it's given a lot to a lot of people. But seeing how putting something like this together is maybe a stewardship of a movement, of a politics, of a cultural text or idea that really has a lot of meaning and has rejuvenated culture and lives, and, you know.
Well, we do get the chance to work with people who have, like, when we're working with, like last year, we got the chance to work with the late John Stabb, who passed away a couple months ago.
Oh,
but
that's right.
One of the last shows Government Issue played was Skullfest, and that's, you know, you're really, with him, you're really dealing with someone who really, in his way, shaped the world. You know, he's such a integral part of, like, you know, DC hardcore or whatever, which it isn't, you know, it isn't an exaggeration to say that, you know, really shaped the culture or whatever. You know, people like, obviously, Ian MacKaye, you know, Henry Rollins, who comes from that same scene. These are people who were inspired by seeing John. You know, John's ideas inspired them, and they, in turn, you know, Henry Rollins, for instance, is on television probably right now doing something influencing, you know, people one way or the other, whatever, you know. And a lot of that, you know, is from seeing groups like Government Issue. Like, so, you know, we do get to deal with these people who, you know, literally shape not just punk culture, but the culture at large, you know, especially with the case of John Stabb, you know. So we do get to play, you know, some kind of role in that, however small, you know. As far as what punk means now with, you know, as far as being a stewardship, as far as being like this, as far as being this cultural thing, it's weird because you mentioned like 77, it was like gonna, you know, supposed to burn out by, you know, whatever, the Johnny Rotten, Johnny Rotten probably by 1977, 78 was saying it was over, and that these people who were, you know, the bands that it came up in the wake of the Pistols were just people who didn't get it. You know, they were like, you know, this is already burnout, already, you know, it's ran its course or whatever. So by then there was people, many of the creators, you know, the Clash were starting to play disco music by 1979 or whatever, you know, the Ramones had added strings and did, which I love that album. So, I mean, and I also like the, you know, the stuff the Clash were doing or whatever, but I guess my point is, you know, they, you know, the, it had kind of almost burned itself out right away, you know, but at the same time, there was other fires burning with other people. There was what became like UK 82, what became American punk and American hardcore, you know, what, you know, later, you know, straight edge hardcore, whatever. So, I mean, it's hard to say because with each one of those fuses that's lit, with each one of those different genres and different timelines, it really means something so different than it did to the generation before, to the to the movement before, you know. But I mean, now we have where you have punk in a museum, you know, which you know, take what you will from that. You know, you have, it's been co-opted dozens of different times since, you know, right from the inception. Yeah. And then at the same time, you have totally illegal shows where the cop, like, you know, to bring it back to where the cops are looking, trying to find it out, where it still is this threatening thing, where there's these ideas that are, you know, anti-police, anti-authoritarian, you know, which are kind of happening at the same time while punk is playing on a commercial to sell you a car or whatever. So you really have these hundreds of different ideas about punk all kind of just coexisting, you know. So it's kind of I don't know if I'm talking in a circle here.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, because I think that's a hard thing, you know, because there's that, you can get it free on YouTube, BBC documentary Punk Britannia.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating and the great archival footage and very smart, but it pissed me off because, man, it is one of those where punk was dead, definitely dead. But if it didn't die in 78, it died in 79.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was just over. And I was like, no, I was at a show at Goose Keys like two nights ago I felt alive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I had this amazing experience. So my domestic partner, she used to teach at the Urban League of Greater Pittsburgh Charter School. Mm-hmm. They had a great drama program. And the drama teacher for that program actually then moved on, and for the kids who graduate, because it was just a K-5 school, she founded the Alumni Theater Company.
Yeah.
And so these kids who went to the Urban League still doing shows and actually great maturing as performers, and these kids go on to Kappa, and some of these kids now that Danelle taught as first graders, oh my God, we're so old, are now in college pursuing performing arts degrees and stuff. But they did, don't laugh, but they did an Afro-punk reinterpretation of Green Day's American Idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I was in high school, man, the scene, the dumb racist jocks, that was safe punk for them.
Yeah,
sure. You know, and
safe,
I was sort
of, punk's a good way to put it.
Safe punk for dumb racist jocks in New Jersey in 1994. And so I never forgave that band for that.
Yeah.
But I was like, you know, I'm kind of curious about this. And, you know, and it's some of Danelle's kids, former kids, are in this show. And I was like, let's go see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was these, a bunch of kids that were in Green Day shirts. And I was thinking, okay, you can't fault them for being born when they were born and catching on. And hopefully it's a gateway to greater things. But it still took, you know, the people who did that show and the kids in the audience, I think, it took them to a place that wasn't, you know, punk is this, for me, amazing critique of what, you know, maybe you're being sold and what you're supposed to know and you're supposed to, you know. And sometimes that, what you're, sometimes punk becomes what you're, quote, supposed to know or mainstream ideas. But, you know, I mean, I'll never forget. I'll say, you know, I would not be an academic if I hadn't heard, you know, Bad Religion, Recipe for Hate, and Strangers in Fiction, which were the major label albums.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't Suffer, wasn't No Control. But those two records just opened a door for me that, like, this kind of suburban reality that I lived was not, it didn't work for me. And I think as a young person, I didn't know how to ask the questions to get out of it or think about what's wrong with it. I just wasn't happy for some reason. And I found those records, and there was, and it was, again, it was from MTV, you know, the video for American Jesus or whatever. And it was like, whoa. And that just opened a door, and my life hasn't been the same since.
I seen the same video was got me into Bad Religion.
Yeah, also. It's such a kick-ass song.
Which it wasn't really the lyrics of Bad Religion, because I was like 13 or 14. You know, I'd heard some punk groups, but nothing really, not really bands that, like, lyrically were on, like, an academic level, like Greg Graffin.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Greg Gaffin.
Gaffin. Okay. Yeah. Greg Gaffin writes on, because I really didn't understand a lot of what he was saying. You know, I'm 14 years old.
Yeah, that was the thing. It sent me to the dictionary.
Yeah, same.
You know what I mean? I was like, there's a big dictionary,
What I did relate to about it was the cover of Bad Religion Suffer, where it's a boy.
Yes.
Out, he's in a suburban, like this, all you can see is like...
Levittown.
Yeah, right. All you can see is the same house. And he has a t-shirt on, which is the Bad Religion logo, which is a cross, crossed out, Crossbusters. And he's set himself on fire, like the classic picture of the monk.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's it seems like what he's protesting. I mean, you can take so many things from it, but what I took from it was just protesting how mundane daily life is.
Yeah.
That this kid...
And unfulfilling and unfulfilling, unexciting. And,
yeah.
And, you know, unjust.
Yeah.
You know? And I think so, yeah, punk can be all those things and open doors for people, no matter maybe which door they go in.
Yeah.
To go back to what you're saying about, like, the different movements and the different feelings and the different, you know, all the different movements that are happening now simultaneously.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
which
yeah,
is
really.
Part of what you're doing at Skullfest, right? And booking sure. the different shows, you know, is maybe is each show a kind of door to an aesthetic, an ideology, a belief system, a critique.
Well, yeah.
A sense of how, of what life can be.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to set yourself on fire. Come to Skullfest.
Yeah. that is the best slogan right there.
Or come to Skullfest and set yourself on fire. Either way, take it.
Yes. Yeah, I have to say one thing. So I'm going to maybe embarrass you. So you're playing twice at Skullfest, right? You're playing, you have this other band, right?
Oh, well, actually we pulled. My other band, Oh Shit, They're Gonna Kill Us, had to pull out because of a broken hand. Our guitar player broke his hand the other day. So.
Well, I'm going to tell a story anyway.
So we're gonna try to pull it off next year. We apologies to all the Oh Shit fans that have been waiting for the last couple of years, but go ahead.
Yeah, so before I kind of got into the scene, you know, I'm a small blur in the scene or whatever, I think I'm now recognized. Yeah, that's that big guy that comes to shows sometimes. You know, he's like, I don't know his name. I don't know if he's, maybe he's a narc or something. I might,
maybe they think you're one of the undercovers.
I might be. I kind of have the belly of a cop who's eaten a lot of donuts and would not be able to run after people. So maybe I'll send him to the punk shows and find out what's going on. You know, they should start walking around Gooskies. So, do you guys know where I can buy any drugs? You know? Anyway, I won't do that. No narc. No, but before I got into it, and, you know, I was just kind of here, and I had a friend who was a little older than me, actually, from grad school as well. Mm-hmm. And I found We Love the Bomb. They Love the Bomb.
They Love the Bomb, yeah.
They Love the Bomb 7-inch at local record store. It was a dollar, mm-hmm. I'll say. It was a dollar.
Yeah, that's right.
So, it was a dollar. And I was like, it's a dollar, and this is just, oh shit, that's such a great name. And yeah. Look at the card. I'm going to buy this. Oh, it's worth a dollar. And I remember I put it on for him. I he was hanging out at my house, and I was like, you know what? I haven't actually listened to this. And we put it on, and he was sort of an older punk. I mean, he grew up in the 80s. You know, he has stories of seeing Black Flag and all of those bands, and he was in a band and got to open for some people and stuff like that. And, you know, he has the stories of what it was like to tour in the 80s or whatever. And we put that record on, and he was like, and I was like, yeah, and this is a Pittsburgh band. And we played the first side. He's like, man, I'm so glad Pittsburgh has something like this.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel better about living here, he said.
Yeah.
To know that exists somewhere here, that there are people doing that and hopefully playing it out for people. And it just made him feel, in a weird way, more at home.
Yeah.
Which also is, I mean, is Skullfest like a big old dysfunctional family reunion? I mean, yeah, is it that, you know, for the
true.
People who kind of fly in for it?
Yeah, we get, I mean, we get some of the people that return every year. We got, you know, a guy from Canada comes every year.
Wow.
We've had people as far as Australia.
Wow.
Which is, Australia's the furthest place away.
Yeah, that's something
world,
like 22 hours in a metal tube.
Yeah.
To get here.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
You literally can't get any further and live on the planet Earth from,
yes,
you know.
Pretty much. Which is amazing. Again, when you've heard that, and you were just like, yeah, this is this thing we just kind of figured out because we wanted this one New Jersey band to get back together.
Right, yeah.
And now this dude did the airfare from Australia
to
come here. But that's amazing.
Yeah,
is that
is.
Like a weird moment for you to be like, oh, me and my big ideas?
What have I gotten myself into now? Yeah.
And this other person, yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
awesome.
Yeah, I mean, when you know, it's definitely cool. There's people I, you know, it's the only time of the year I see them. People like from out of the country, you know, like Canadians, you know, for instance, they come down, stuff like that. You know, so yeah, it's cool. It does mean a lot to me that people come from such a distance and that it means so much to so many different people, you know, and that it is in a lot of ways like, you know, as cliche as it might sound, a family or community vibe, you know, cause.
Well, and I think that's important. I really think, you know, in a weird way, I think about sometimes even when I go to shows, in a weird way, it is like church, though. When you do, like, oh, you see friends there, you know, peace be with you. You know, I mean, right. But that is this, it is really the same gesture for the end of Catholic Mass that happens in the rock room and
right.
and places like that. But I think it's so important to know, you know, because I think that's the other amazing thing about punk was it is still something that people make. And again, granted, there are the Green Days of the world mm-hmm. that co-opt it and then hand it to people as
sure.
a fully formed package that doesn't have any struggle in it, you know.
Right.
You know, they might, you know, but maybe for some people that's all the angst they can handle or whatever. But
I don't know how much angst I can handle myself anymore. The same, I might go the Green Day route.
Yeah, you know, I'm here. I hear it pays well. Let's just say that.
Oh no, I meant the route of buying their records and
buying their records. And, I will say actually one really cool thing. I will say this about Green Day: Billy Joe Armstrong, this alumni theater company, these you know high school and early college kids doing this show. He found out about it. And he knew about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was maybe the royalty check or whatever. Yeah. He actually sent the cast Break a Leg cupcakes
on opening really?
Night with that's a handwritten nice. Note like, dude, you know, I wish I could come rock it or whatever.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Music sucks. But, you know, but anyway.
Good on you, Billy Joe, if you're listening.
Good on you, Billy Joe.
I almost called him Billy Joel. Yeah. Billy Joel, if you're listening too.
Yeah, good on you.
Shout out to Billy Joel.
Sing us a song.
The Piano Man.
Yeah, there we go. I mean, you're right. Maybe you just, you know, I'm getting older too. And so, yeah, maybe there's just too much angst in the world. But, you know, it still is though something for me that is, again, I hate to use that loaded word again, organic.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I use it like Antonio Gramsci would argue, you know, it's this thing that, this intellectual process that people had to figure out their own, maybe outside of mainstream channels.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there's something just so much more alive and vibrant about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then for people to maybe find each other in their, you know, dissatisfaction and then sometimes joy with punk.
Yeah.
Is an amazing, powerful thing, and I never want to let that go. And so it's just so awesome that, like, Skullfest exists and,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I think so, too. When you said dissatisfaction with punk and feeling, you know, the joy of being part of punk, that's definitely two things that really drives us. I feel if we were like totally satisfied with everything in punk, we probably would just take a step back and let it all just happen.
Yeah.
But since that really isn't the case, we're, you know, I mean, we're, you know, the people involved with Skullfest are trying to shape it to some degree to in the way we would like to see it be, you know what I mean?
And I think too, as you know, as you have this also this great mix of sort of, you know, the old guard and the new guard,
mm-hmm.
you know, kids were still figuring it out, still doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Which is
sure. I mean, every year there's kids, you know what I mean? Like, you know, 13, 14 year old kids that we see there. And then there's, you know, there's people that are 60 years old that come, you know, people who had seen the Ramones on their first tour. We hear stories, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, this was the best show since when I seen, you know, the Clash or whatever, you know? And then we get people who Skullfest is their first show. Really across the board, you know, we get all it really is we're limited with the spaces, so we do have some 21 and over events, but it really is all ages in that sense, you know, that there's if there's people bring, you know, people that are bringing their kids, they got their earphones on, the kids are 3 years old, and we got people who are with, you know, ready for their walkers, you know, with the, you know, studded and spiked.
Yes, and walkers, they don't need the earplugs because they're already deaf.
They're already deaf, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and so again, for folks who want to be a part of this, and so the ticket process, right, there are passes, and then there's like the sort of carte blanche thing.
Yeah, there's individual tickets for some shows. You can get like an individual ticket for, like, say, Final Conflict, a lot of the bigger shows. And we also have individual tickets for Belgrado because it is in a smaller space in the Brillo box. So if that's something you want to see, we recommend either buying a wristband or an individual ticket. And then we have the wristband, the all-encompassing ticket, which gets you into everything.
Fantastic. And again, so Cruel Noise Records in Polish Hill has tickets. SkullFestPGH.com and the FaceTube page, SkullFest 8, Skulls in Space.
Correct.
Yes, is where folks.
And also check out Cruel Noise whether you already have a ticket or not.
Yes,
I want to shout out to
because
today is John's first day. John that took over the spot also helps with SkullFest.
Oh, fantastic!
I should also note that there's how many is there? Five other people that work with me on the fest at this point.
Wow.
Well, it started just kind of myself and Jimmy Rose. It grew to I think there's six of us now. I hope six, because if there's seven and the person hears this, they're going to be wondering, am I the person that he left out? So I think there's six of us. But one of them is John, who does Cruel Noise Records, John Viegas, from Drug Lust fame, or Infamy, from Drug Lust Infamy, today's his first
day. I was so upset. I saw I followed him on FaceTube, and I saw the first, we open at noon, and I had to be at work at 12:30.
Yeah.
And I was going to be in a meeting all afternoon. I was like, I want to go to the record store your first day. And I got over it. I'll go this week. And so again, that is August 18th to 21st, various above and underground locations in Pittsburgh, SkullFest. Yes.
And now Skulls in Space.
Skulls in Space.
Wear a spacesuit.
Yes.
For your own protection. Because there will be, what is it? No gravity? Is that what? No oxygen.
No oxygen. No oxygen. Yeah. Oxygen. You think there's oxygen? There's the sun's toxic radiation.
Yeah.
And the lack of gravity. So you're just fucked, basically.
Yeah.
SkullFest, the first, last, and best music festival you'll ever go to, and it'll be over for you. Okay, it is now time for the bottom five.
All right,
are you ready? Bottom five is a series of questions.
Is it a speed round, or?
No, it's not a speed round. We're good. We're doing
I know I did it once before. Time.
Yes, so it's good. You can think for a moment, and I jump in and tell anecdotes.
I was
too
confused. Family Feud. That's who does the speed round.
Speed round. Yes.
I always get this show and Family Feud confused.
It's understandable. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, you think you had the first host of Family Feud was maybe the guy who was might have been implicated in the murder of the Hogan's Heroes guy, who then he was also in that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, Running Man.
Right.
And then the host who replaced him actually killed himself.
Committed suicide. Yeah.
I kind of have these same trajectories in my life, I think, you know. So anyway.
Well, you killed a guy from Hogan's Heroes, too. So you got
I did. We don't talk about that on the podcast, though.
Well, actually, go back and can you erase?
I do a little razor blade, if I care. Actually, I will say, I was saying to somebody, I did twice have to do two razor blade edits. One,
because
somebody was going to get fired, and another, somebody was actually confessing a crime.
Yeah.
I was confessing a crime somebody else committed, and they used that person's first and last names. And I was like, we're just going
to
take this out,
save it,
so there's no record of the person's name, and then I put some turkey gobbling.
I'd like to confess a crime while I'm here on the air.
Yes. You are the Lindbergh baby. Anyway, so bottom five is a series of questions not related to our main topic that are of a surrealistic and or philosophical nature. Are you ready, Dusty?
Ready.
Ready. All right. Question one. It's not even a question. Here's a prompt. Tell me a happy but somewhat unremarkable memory of your childhood.
Happy but
yeah, so it couldn't be like, dude, we went to Disney World. It was great. It was more. I'm thinking more. You know, it rained that day, so we made cookies.
Well, you know, for some reason, the first memory that pops into my head when you, I'm just gonna say the first one.
Okay.
That pops into my head is my brother and I. We grew up in a like very very rural place, you know. So we couldn't like ride our bicycles to a store, to the arcade or anything. You know, while we did get occasional arcade trips, that was kind of a special thing or whatever. Yeah. So, but we had the creek behind our house, and that was kind of our arcade. You know, it's like we got to play. You know, we didn't have Nintendo. We played Catch the Crawdad or whatever, you know.
Nice.
So one day we're down there, and we found there was kind of this little whirlpool, right? Like it was at the kind of the edge, you know, like a little dam thing, you know, like a little whirlpool formed and floating. I don't know why this comes up as a happy memory because it's a little bit morbid, but we're, you know, morbid stuff can make you happy when you're a kid. So yeah. We found floating in this whirlpool was just the head of a fox.
Wow.
And to us, that was a great find because we're always looking for weird stuff, and that's a pretty fucking weird thing, dude. Just a fox's head. So we got a coffee can. We ran up to the house. It's about almost a mile, all in all, you know, a half mile at least. Run up and put it in a coffee can, and then waited for our parents to get home because we thought they would share our joy in the fox's head. And my dad was, of course, like, just like, get it the hell out of here, you know. And it was, we kept, I should say, note that we kept it in the water, which I don't know why, but, you know, we filled it up with water and threw the fox's head in there. But the mystery about it is to this day, I still don't know, you know, what decapitates a fox, you know. It wasn't like there's really other humans around there that would, you know, like a sadistic. And even so, it's, you know, you can't really catch a fox with your hands, you know, whatever.
Oh, coyote, maybe?
I don't know.
Coyote territory? Well, because I guess coyotes are sort of working their way into the city.
Coyotes are there now. But at the time, there wouldn't have been. They wouldn't have been there. But now, that's definitely coyotes there. This is in Franklin, Pennsylvania. The country outside of Franklin. But That's the memory that pops in my head is finding a fox's head.
Nice. You know? That is remarkable.
And
anyway.
I still have it floating in. No, just kidding.
Oh.
I actually have it with me today for all you.
It
all
is
you
the skull of Skull Fest.
It is
right?
the Fox Skull Fest.
You boiled the meat off it, and then you.
Maybe next year will be Skull Fest 9, Fox's Skull.
Fox's Skull or Fox's Skull in a coffee can.
Fox's Skull in a coffee. Fox Maxwell House. I still remember the brand.
the blue Maxwell House can.
Blue, yeah.
Nice.
Blue Maxwell House can. So for some reason, that's the...
That's good. No,
I don't know if that's a happy memory, but we...
That's probably at least the most remarkable answer to the story the five times I've asked it. Yeah. All right. Question two. Have you ever had a dream you wish you could revisit? Or a dream world you wish you could periodically revisit from time to time?
Well, you know, I have this kind of this map in my dreams where I keep track of different places and I kind of try to put them together. You know, like I'll have this one place that's this waterfall, you know, this other place that's this this path that goes underground and then goes underwater, you know, stuff like that. So I kind of piece them together in my head, and I'm kind of like, well, maybe the water from this waterfall leads into this other place I was at.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So in general, I would like to visit visit this I call it my dream map, you know.
That's amazing. And because I'm sure as a dream you get these fleeting glimpses of it.
Yeah, so when I wake up, I try to think, I'm like, you know, that's a particularly green mossy rock similar to the one that, you know, that I dreamt that was in this location or whatever. So I would like to, you know, to go to that place in general. This, and I've also wondered if it's kind of like an alternate reality to places I've been in real life, you know what I mean, that are similar.
An amalgamation, yeah.
Yeah. But I, of course, don't know. But so that's my answer, is so, I'd like to to visit this strange land that, you know, exists in my mind or whatever.
Yeah.
Not to get psychedelic on your list.
No, I understand that, because, you know, I have
I'm sure you got some of them are out there eating acid, so they can
there
trip
you go. We're all going to die. Try it on LSD. Now, I have this thing, actually, you talk about this map and places you've been. I used to have for about 10 years, I haven't had one recently in like a year, but for about a decade, I had these dreams that always started in the house that I grew up in.
Oh, really?
And I would move to a different room, and the different room would be a different house, a different building, a different thing, in a different state, in a different era or whatever.
Yeah.
And I would just go from that house, and I mean, the Freudian metaphor is just, oh, he's staying at home, and then he's going out into the world, and
there's
all issues or whatever. But yeah, I would end up, you know, you know, backstage at a theater when I used to act or something. Mm-hmm. It was off the kitchen or something, you know, that kind of thing. So I understand that. You're killing these questions, man. You're killing them. But here's number three.
We'll see how the rest
goes. We'll see. There's three more.
It might be like a band, like the first two albums are great, and then the third, fourth, and fifth album, those are the ones that you really gotta try. The first two just kind of come naturally, organically.
Organically, we'll yes.
So we'll see. This might be my third album here.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll see.
And then maybe next year we'll do a podcast for Skullfest 9. And it could be the cash grab reunion bottom five.
Oh,
questions.
Yeah.
There you go. Okay, so if purgatory is real, what would your idea of purgatory be like? Not heaven, not hell. Purgatory.
Well, I'll tell you what I think of when I think of purgatory. And I'm not... I wasn't raised Catholic.
Yeah.
So I don't know super much about it, but I remember hearing that maybe babies go there. So in my mind, is that true?
Well, so that there's this idea that existed for many years and now doesn't, because the Catholic Church can just wipe these things.
Yeah.
There was this idea of limbo, which was this place that wasn't hell, where the unbaptized babies went.
Oh, okay.
That, like, maybe didn't do bad shit yet.
Yeah.
They were unbaptized. They're babies. They didn't to do bad shit.
Right.
But still born in original sin. And so they couldn't... It didn't hurt. It just was kind of hopeless and boring.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm envisioning is limbo. But how I envision it is it's kind of... It kind of looks like outer space. But there's just babies floating everywhere. Right?
Oh, God. This so it's just terrifying.
Like... You know, they're like hitting each other. They're like... I mean, not smashing.
Oh, wow.
So if the LSD person is listening now, I don't want to scare you, but they're not smashing into each other. But, you know, they're bumping into each other, just kind of floating everywhere. Babies
with, like, soft skulls just popping heads in outer space.
Because, I mean, there's so many... When was limbo or purgatory invented? Like, there's got to be a lot of babies there.
There's got to be a lot of babies. So, yeah, so I guess limbo now is the baby thing. Oh, well, you know, they didn't have original sin, and so the last pope kind of wiped limbo out as an idea.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, purgatory, and like Dante's purgatory, and you know the Divine Comedy, the first part of it is still hell.
Yeah,
it's hell because you have to like work off, you have to sweat off your sins. You know, it's like heaven. In fact, even in Dante's hell, there's no gates of heaven because even when you're in purgatory, you're in there. You just got to go through some shit for about 500 years, and then you're good. So the first few cantos of the Purgatorio are kind of like the Inferno, you know?
Yeah.
And then you know, yeah.
So it's still a little hot.
Still a little hot, but
you're
not too hot.
Yeah.
It's more, you know, think of it as Youngstown, Ohio or something.
Right,
you know? But you get to move. Sorry if you live in Youngstown. There's a great art museum in Youngstown.
No one's really living in Youngstown. So I think you're safe.
You're right. But the Butler Institute of American Art, if you are in Youngstown, that's something to be proud of. That's one of the best American art collections anywhere in the world.
I got to, actually, last night, I got to... Youngstown is actually a place I think about a lot. I haven't been there a lot, but I got to talk about Youngstown with somebody for about an hour straight.
Wow.
Last night. I could count the times on one hand I've been there, but it's an interesting place.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm... Definitely a place with a pretty crazy criminal history, car bombs and stuff like that, you know.
Former Merc at murder capital of the U.S.
Yeah. Shout out to Youngstown. Murder capital.
So, Great American Art Collection, murder capital of the U.S., Boom Boom Mancini. O'Neill.
Ed O'Neill.
Thank you. Ed O'Neill. Yeah, there you go.
Boom Boom Mancini killed the guy, right? Hit him and killed him?
He killed Dooku Kim. Oh, okay. 1982. Which one night it was on ESPN Classic.
Oh, really?
That fight. And I turned it on and I was like, why would you show that?
Yeah.
Why would you show that? And, you know, it wasn't Boom Boom Mancini's fault. The ref should have stopped the fight.
Yeah.
Ref, that's the ref's job. He had one job and didn't do it.
Mancini also is notable for being mentioned in the Warren Zevon song.
Yes. Hurry on home.
Where he fights
Boom Boom
Bobby.
Mancini's fighting Bobby Chacombe. Why am I
Bobby
singing?
Bobby Chacombe.
Yeah? That's a great song. There's actually also a really good if you're into sort of eclectic, indie, energetic rock. There's this great band called the Zoo, Z-O-U, from Youngstown.
Oh, yeah?
Really good, yeah.
I'll check that out. Yeah. Another Youngstown, should be mentioned that Bruce Springsteen did the song about Youngstown called Youngstown.
Yeah.
Not a fan?
Not a fan. And actually,
I didn't mention the Rolling Stones the whole time.
Yeah, there you go.
Trying not to get, I accidentally mentioned Springsteen.
Yeah.
But.
And also, actually, this really great math metal band called Coin Monster. They were from Newcastle, and they played Youngstown a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But they were an amazing, amazing band.
Yeah.
Now defunct, but that was one of those bands I heard the first Coin Monster album, and it just, doors opened. I just thought, what?
Yeah.
I never heard anything like that again.
I think I'm interested in Youngstown because it's kind of like if Pittsburgh, didn't bounce back from the loss of the steel industry or whatever, Youngstown didn't bounce back, obviously.
Yeah, it's still falling. Story of decay in Youngstown. So I have friends who work for the United Steelworkers, and they were doing some organizing up there at a hospital. And there's an intersection by the hospital, and the police actually instructed the nurses to blow the red light
at certain hours.
They just said, no, if you stop at a red light, you will get carjacked here.
Yeah.
And then my friend was doing a meeting in a church. And they were like, what side of the street did you park on? He's like, oh, this side of the church. Oh, good. He's like, why? He's like, people get shot on the other side of the street. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, on the other side of the street, people get shot. On our side of the street, you're fine. And I mean, it broke his brain because he said, why don't they cross the street to shoot people? And they're like, we don't know. It's just, that's how it works
just the
here.
Way it is.
Wow. So, all right. Hey. Maybe this is a good segue. So, dystopian city? If we were living in a dystopian future, and the only books that could survive would be those bound in human skin, right? So if as this new dystopian order is coming up, they're destroying all the books except for the ones bound in human skin. And what book would you donate your skin for? And I will also say this, the caveat, you can't say the Bible, the Quran, or the complete works of Shakespeare. Those are taken. Somebody's on those three.
Yeah, right.
Those are safe bets, okay? Those are like top three.
Mm-hmm.
We got to save these. All right, human skin. But is there a book that you would say, in order for this to survive for future generations, I will march myself to the tannery with this in hand, and just some guy, I'll just smash your head between two cinder blocks and skin you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would. And that book would be Where the Wild Things Are.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel that's one of the most important books.
Nice.
It opens up kids' mind to a world of adventure. Possibilities of, what the imagination holds, the places that the imagination can take you. So that would be the book I would donate my skin to.
Nice.
Again, I'm freaking out. The guy on acid out there. At this point, he's like, this is getting...
this is too real, man.
Too much.
This is too real. All right, let's bring it back down
to Earth. Game over, man.
All right. you know, wow, wouldn't it be weird? Like somebody like jump does do the LSD stereotype thing. They jump out the window and we know like their laptop is pulled up and the last thing, you know, get that knock.
He had an Aussie record on the turntable.
He had We're All Gonna Die. That's what he listened to. And it drove him over the edge. All right. Well, let's bring it back down to earth then. Let's bring it back down to earth. The final question, question five. What mundane daily activity gives you the most joy? Just mundane shit that people got to do every day. Is there something you really enjoy?
I like to mow the lawn.
Really? You're a lawnmower.
I'm a lawnmower. I don't do it every day, but when I do, so maybe that doesn't.
I think that's in day. It's sort of an everyday enough. Sort of thing. You don't do it every day, but yeah, that's
gardening in general.
Gardening.
Those two things are both really, you know, calming for me. I like to step back and look at after it's done and just be like, well, I don't just look at it. I call my wife and say, look at this. Yeah. She's like, you know, and she goes back inside. And then I stand there and look at it a little longer. I like to wake up. I have two dogs, a beagle and a pit bull, three-legged pit bull. And I like to wake up with both of them, which is a daily thing, you know, in the morning and just pull both of them and just kind of put them in headlocks and cuddle them. So that's probably if I had to pick a thing, is dog cuddling is my
every day
is my daily mundane but activity that I enjoy.
Mundane special thing, lawnmower. And I have to know, okay, so mowing the lawn, gasoline, electric, or mechanical push mower?
Well, currently I have an electric lawnmower, so I have to get the extension cord, but in the past I've actually never had a gas lawnmower. Maybe
like, they make no sense in the city.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I have had the old style, you know, just to push, but it doesn't, you got to keep the blade super sharp or else it's just not going to work.
You can't mow the grass when it's wet.
Yeah.
Or when it's too tall. Yeah.
We're bringing the acid guy back down. He's like, all right, mowing the grass. That's
man.
A little more. Yeah. But yeah, the dogs, I love the dogs. Shout out to the dogs, Fang
dogs,
and Gnar.
Oh, what were the dogs?
Fang and Gnar.
Fang and Gnar.
Fang actually isn't named after the punk group Fang. A funny story. When I first got Fang, I was touring with Oh Shit, and we ended up playing at the end of our tour a few shows with Fang, with the band Fang. We ended our tour with, I think we did two shows with Fang and Verbal Abuse, I want to say. And we got a little bit of flack for it because the singer for Fang, Sammy Town, had murdered someone in the 80s, you know, and he did prison time, and he had since been released. But, you know, some people were still like, oh, you know, this guy's a murderer, you know, shouldn't maybe support his band, which I understand, you know, but we had already committed to the show. So, but anyways, we're on tour. And I would tell people, it's like, I can't wait to get till the end of the tour and I get to cuddle with Fang and love Fang. And I was just getting these strange looks, you know, because I'm saying the same thing, you know, it's like, I love Fang. I love to cuddle with Fang. And people thought I was talking about the band Fang, you know, which is this gnarly, you know, 80s punk group that has a murdering singer, you know what I mean? So people thought I had these big plans to, you know, to cuddle with this band, but it was really the dog. So when we finally get to play the shows with them at the end of the tour, the singer, Sammy Town is his name. He comes out and he's actually wearing a, Oh Shit, They're Gonna Kill Us t-shirt, which I thought was really odd for someone who actually had killed someone to wear. They're gonna, you know what I mean? It's like, usually, man, I think it's cool to wear our shirt, but you know, you might want to rethink that one a bit or whatever.
Wow.
But yeah, so people thought when I was talking about Fang, I was talking about the band, but he's actually named, my wife named him after the dog in Harry Potter.
Nice.
His name is Fang, so.
There you go.
Fang and Gnar.
Fang and Gnar.
I know they're listening. Love you guys.
Yes. Maybe they barked. So I think that's about it. Again, thank you so much, Dusty, for coming. Again, folks, Skullfest 8, Skulls in Space, August 18th to 21st, skullfestpgh.com, and you can get tickets at Cruel Noise Records and on Facetube. And I'll have all the links and stuff to our website. But thank you so much for doing this and taking your time out to address our hundreds of thousands of listeners every podcast.
Probably millions by now.
Millions, yeah. This is the one that's going to... This is my big break, actually, as a host. Yeah, I'm getting the CBS spot right after Colbert, I think.
Nice.
Yeah, it's the next logical. Don't worry, I'll book Silence. Silence could be the house band for that.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be great.
Just all gothy. And
bring the rock cards.
Yes, bring the... Actually, you know what? The thing about this... So I have this pack of trading cards from 1991 called Rock Cards. And so it was pre-Nirvana. And so these cards were this set of trading cards of 288 cards that stare at me next to my computer monitor with great bands like Whitesnake, Skid Row, Poison, Kathmandu, Bon Jovi, and Slaughter, and Warrant, and all of those.
And the Moody Blues.
That's the real one.
And
hey, Sisters of Mercy, they're not too bad. And Iggy Pop has still got some street cred.
Brian Baker's Junkyard is in there.
Yes, Brian Baker's Junkyard. Brian Baker, Minor Threat, and Bad Religion
and
now.
Bad Religion. And...
But this whole set of trading cards was released into a world that did not exist soon after.
Yeah. Well, I mean, over half those bands were obsolete after Nirvana. You know,
yeah, which would have been Poison, about Cinderella. 6 to 8 months after that set of trading cards, which is why I bought it at a flea market for $5, the whole display box. This guy had like 20 of them.
Of the whole set?
Of the whole set. Of this... Bah, he had like 20, $5 a piece, man.
Yeah.
Rogers, Ohio. Anyway.
Shout out to Rogers.
Rogers,
Ohio. Because we shouted out Youngstown. We'll do Rogers.
Also. Rogers, hey, it's just down the road. Just take down 7 south or north, and you're
You know, I know exactly
Rogers.
How far it is. 22 miles, because I see the sign.
Yes, exactly.
As you know what I'm talking about? The sign there you're getting into?
Yep. All right. So I think that's about it. Our next episode will eventually happen, and it'll be about something. Our homepage, where you can find new and old episodes, is GonnaDiePodcast.com. We're also on iTunes. We appreciate your subscriptions and reviews, actually, too. Follow us on Twitter at GonnaDiePodcast, and We're All Gonna Die is on Facebook. Thanks to Brett, as always, for the lovely theme music. Later, meets.